Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We ask you to, again, to frequent our sponsors and supporters. Again, we're here trying to give you some good information for the week coming up. And my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Kim Fink.
And we're shorthanded today. People may come, may go in the middle of the show. We're going to start off with, what happened this week with the Ukraine and
Russia?
Well,
they used drones.
Who?
Ukraine used drones, and they took out a number of Russian fighter planes.
A third.
On various bases all throughout the country.
And these were thousands of miles inside.
Yeah. And there are a couple of things that bother me about this. How did they get the drones past the radar?
I heard it was the altitude that they were flying at, that they were undetectable by radar.
So this is something that we maybe should learn from as a country, because we're vulnerable to this, and we have aircraft carriers all over the place that are vulnerable to this. And this doesn't sound like a man who wants to make peace. He did this just before the negotiations started. And meanwhile, we've got a bunch of senators meeting with him and Europeans trying to get more aid to him.
Who are those senators?
Blumenthal and Lindsey Graham are two of them.
Was the country Germany that sold these drones?
I believe it was.
That's what my memory is telling me, I recall. And if that is the case, I wonder if our ambassadors, the United States ambassadors, were aware that this was going to happen. You know, a lot of time the allies are aware of what each other's going to do because of the risk of escalation among the other NATO countries.
Well, I believe that the current White House press secretary says they were not aware of it ahead of time. And this is frightening. There are a lot of reasons that people who are not particularly ethical want to keep this war going. Because this war is one of the best money laundering systems that we currently have on the planet.
And I think we've been involved in that money laundering as well.
Our
country.
Our Congress. And as long as this war goes on, there will be money flowing back to campaign coffers in the U.S. When it stops, that has a negative impact on some of our congresspeople, and that's both parties.
I agree.
I am not accusing one party or the other.
I keep thinking about Benghazi, and when you were talking about that, Mary, it just reminded me that the rumor is that Benghazi was about the United States going back to try to get Stinger missiles that we had illegally
given
sold
to Libya.
To them,
yeah.
And that they were trying to cover their butts on, specifically Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And I worry about that kind of thing, because the escalation from that could be us next time. It could be happening here. Because of the open borders, we have a lot of sleeper cells here, and if they can do that kind of damage with drones, what about the people that are already here that already hate us?
What about the guy who did the attack in Boulder, Colorado? He was somebody who overstayed his visa.
My point is, we don't have to wait for drones.
No, because there are people here that... And he turned around and has been interviewed and made the comment that, given the opportunity, I'd do the same thing again because I want to kill Jews.
And what kind of weapons?
That's not a good message.
What kind of weapons are already here?
Well, he used homemade weapons. He used homemade Molotov cocktails and a homemade flamethrower. So he didn't even really need a weapon. He said he used them because he couldn't buy a gun.
Now, I know that in the Ukraine-Russia thing right now, apparently President Trump did have a discussion. Now, we're recording on Wednesday. Did have a discussion with Putin today, a 15-minute discussion, but made no headway on this. But to add a little bit of another moving piece on the chessboard. Putin has offered to get involved in the Iranian nuclear discussions.
Oh, Lord.
On whose side?
Well,
she asks stupidly.
And I think because probably Probably because Russia / North Korea or whatever else is supplying technology and whatever else.
Yeah.
I think that might be a helpful thing to get him.
Well,
we don't know.
It was announced earlier in the week that Iran has enough fission material to build 12 nuclear bombs, or 10, I'm sorry, I think it was 10. That does not help me sleep at night. These are people you do not want to have a nuclear bomb. And they've been aided by North Korea and Russia. And we are coming to a point where either they are going to agree to step down their nuclear program, which I don't think they are, or Israel's going to say, sorry, you're an existential threat. Bye.
But the fallout from any nuclear, I'm talking about the radioactive fallout, not the political fallout.
Yeah.
The radioactive fallout wouldn't stay localized.
No,
and they're on doorsteps of many other countries.
Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the whole
bunch. We learned
that,
again, with Chernobyl. We learned how quickly it went around the world.
And back in the 60s, there was a novel written called On the Beach. I don't know if anybody ever read it.
They made a movie out of it.
It was by Neville Shute, and it was about a bunch of people in Australia. There had been a nuclear war between India and Pakistan, and they were waiting for the radiation to hit them and kill them. And that's what the book was about. And they talked about it triggered everything, and they were the only people left, and they knew they weren't going to be left for very long. This is dangerous. This is dangerous for
all of us. This business about this escalation between Russia and Ukraine, I believe the Ukrainians are looking at this as proof that they can win the war, because they had one of their higher-ranking officials who's over in the country now talking to probably Senator Graham and
Blumenthal,
other people about getting arms. And I think they're using these attacks as evidence to say, if you continue to give us the weapons we need, we can defeat Russia. They also not only took out one-third of these bombers that the Russians had, they also blew up the bridge, which is the main bridge into Crimea, which Putin was celebrating when they captured. He rode across the bridge, glorifying it. And this, I think, is the third time that they've attacked it. And they actually took out the superstructure.
The footings
of it. And so these drones, and now they didn't use drones in that case. But this stuff about the drones is very worrisome, because you have all these Chinese people in this country that have allegiance to the communist Chinese, and if they don't have allegiance to them, they can force them to do things because they can threaten their families and so on. You know, these students on visas, and so I don't really think, and it's going to be interesting, because people say, they say, well, Putin's not ready to come to the table. The question is, will he ever be willing to come to the table before he resorts to tactical nuclear weapons or something to bring Russia back up to the top? I'm not convinced that he would accept defeat, because it would mean, I think it would probably mean the defeat of him and perhaps his administration.
His administration.
I want to ask a speculative question. Did we have more control over Ukraine when we were funding it, or do we have?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think we've ever had control.
Well, I'm not sure about having lots of control, but did we have more control when we were funding, when the money was coming in, or do we have it now because they need to look for money?
Well, we had enough control to install Zelensky.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, that's a good question, Bob, who's controlling it? You know, there, as somebody mentioned earlier, they're getting these drones from Germany. And some of the European countries are really supporting this because they see themselves as the next victims if Russia is allowed to have a victory in Ukraine. So they're right on the edge of it. We're, an ocean away But you know, it's a troubling, scary situation that we're, and escalations tend to keep going. That's the danger of what we're in.
Well, part of it too, and this is the behind the scenes thing that may work in our favor, is the price of oil. Because Russia, if the price of oil goes to $50 a barrel,
it's not going to. It's not going.
Well,
to
currently it's at 62.9. If it drops even to 55, Russia cannot support that war. And one of two things will happen: they will either negotiate a truce, or they will do something horrible like technical nukes.
Since you asked the question, Bob, I want to know what your thoughts were about do we have more control or less control with the Ukraine? You had to have something in your head before.
The reason I asked it again was from Ukraine's perspective, they had easy money coming in. And based on that easy money coming in, they had easy influence everywhere. I don't know if they have as easy of an influence now. I think probably.
But I want to go back to the influence with the money, and I still think that that had something to do with what Mary said earlier with money laundering, and I think that that was basically blackmail money related to the COVID labs. So if they're not blackmailing us anymore, or we're not falling for the game anymore, they had to look for funding elsewhere, and they're flaunting it in our face because they, as a country, Zelensky, with as cocky as he is, he realizes the struggle that we have within our own country, because we're already divided in this country over the Ukraine war.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I heard a month or two ago, Tucker Carlson had been over in Switzerland, and he talked about the fact that the people over there with the money, the cars, the furs, and the jewelry were the Ukrainian elite. So how much of the money that we have given to them went to the war effort, and how much went to corruption? And we need to audit that at some point.
You're never going to get to the books to audit it.
Agreed. It's scary.
If we can't audit it, we need to stop funding it.
Well, what is it? Money corrupts, absolutely. Yeah.
The love of money corrupts, absolutely.
There is one positive thing for the United States about this war occurring. It's weakening Russia.
Yes.
And Russia is still one of our adversaries. Now, particularly since they're being supported by China. So the longer this goes on, as long as it doesn't escalate into World War III, you know, like I say, they took their bombers out, and there's other things that they're losing. They lost all their tanks.
Yep.
Well, most of their tanks.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. I hope that you could understand what we were talking about. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening. Alan, you wanted to continue this because of what, negotiations?
Yeah, I just wanted to relate, Bob, what's going on with these, I would call them failed negotiations, or you could call them delayed negotiations. You could certainly look at what's going on with Putin and say, well, he's really not interested in stopping the war because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't care about the number of people that he's lost. The same thing with Iran. Is Iran, a kind of country you can actually negotiate with and have a deal? And the truth of the matter is, both of those countries, as well as China, they all have a history of violating agreements that they make. So even if you get an agreement, and what worries me is that President Trump, he has made his career in a large extent on the art of the deal. He wrote the book. He believes that you can negotiate with people and so on and so forth. And possibly in the business world where people have similar values and interests, that's true. But the question becomes, can you really negotiate and have an acceptable deal with people who are inherently evil, whose morals are so different than yours? For example, when Trump, he is concerned about the useless deaths and casualties for human beings. He reflects that in how he interacts with the families of people who are servicemen in this country. He cares about other people. You can't say the same thing about Putin. Is there any evidence that he cares?
Or Zelensky.
He throws these
pawns.
Soldiers
in.
Yeah, they're pawns in a chess game to him.
And then if you add in the Iranian or the Muslim and the religion where it's an honor to die as a martyr.
You also, with adding that in, there is a concept in Islam called taqiyya, which means it's okay to lie to an infidel in the cause of advancing Islam. How do you negotiate with people who have no reason to tell you the truth?
Alan, wasn't it just on the news this week that China had already broken treaties that was previously made just recently?
Yeah, just recently, yes. And, you know, and because it's like Mary's saying, they don't value truth. They're focused on their objective. It's the same thing like you mentioned Iran. They want to destroy Israel, and they want to destroy Western culture, including the United States. And that's their objective. And I really believe that once you realize who these people are, you need to keep your foot to the pedal to ultimately weaken and destroy them. It's just like Hamas. You can't let Hamas come back from this. They have to be destroyed. In my opinion, Trump should put maximum sanctions on Iran and keep them there until the Iranian regime is changed, or keep them to the point where they cannot come back to their terrorist activity. Because if we get into a deal with them where we've let off the sanctions, what are they going to do with the money they get? They're just going to fund the terrorists again, because that's all they ever do.
One of the things that happened this week that is good news in terms of Israel and Hamas is there is a humanitarian group that is not under the control of the UN that is providing food to people in the Gaza Strip. They're not under control of Hamas. They're being supervised by the Israelis, which is why you had a false rumor earlier in the week that the Israeli soldiers were killing people. The reason Hamas started that rumor was that Hamas does not control this food distribution, and they can't use it as leverage to strengthen their control over the civilians in Hamas. I want to get rid of Hamas. But I also understand that Hamas is not the Gaza Strip. There are people who support Hamas in the Gaza Strip, but a lot of them support it because the price on not supporting it may be your life. And we need a way to free Gaza from Hamas and relocate any innocent people that are there, and I'm sure there are some, there may not be many, but there may be some, to another place. I don't like the idea of wiping out a whole group of people, but we may eventually be faced with that.
Well, I think it's like I'm saying, I think we need to continue to let Israel focus on the leadership of Hamas and this, these prisoner exchanges, which I don't understand.
You mean 10 they, for 1,500?
Yeah. Israel gets back 10 hostages and they release, 1,200 or 1,000 or whatever. And these convicted terrorists, how does that advance your safety? I just don't understand that.
It doesn't, but they are desperate to get their hostages back, and I don't blame them.
But that's what these other countries rely on. They rely on your morals being such that it precludes you from taking action against them that would destroy them. And that's what they count on.
And actually, I'm going to even limit it more. They're relying on your media bringing it to the forefront. Yeah. So to make you look bad, make you politically look bad, they are manipulating the media.
And we don't know how many hostages are still alive. That's the other part of it.
And I think that might be why they're not freeing them, because they don't want the world to know how many of them have died.
I suspect they may have 10. I think the estimates I've heard have been 29. They do not deserve to be treated well. I'm sorry, they don't.
Quick changing hats. We want to go to the courts or do we want to go to China?
Let's go to the courts.
Now, the question is which courts? Now I'm going to bring up I'm going to instigate. Before the end of this month, the Supreme Court is supposed to rule on gender-affirming care for minors, nationwide injunction, birthright citizenship, sex and gender in school libraries, Obamacare preventive care panel, age verification for pornography sites, Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood, Mexico lawsuits against gun companies, Palestinian terrorists, and nuclear waste storage. You notice we don't have anything to do with that judicial overreach. What happened to that?
That bothers me a lot, Bob.
My understanding was that there was a pending suit. I don't know whether it's gotten to that level or not, but I understand that there was a pending suit. There was a conversation with some members of Congress about what Congress could do to try to rein in the courts. In other words, there's nothing in the Constitution that even authorizes these
it doesn't establish
sub-federal
these courts.
And, so Congress, the problem is, you'd have to, it would take in the Senate, it would take up to 60, you'd have to get 60 votes because it's not a reconciliation issue. And whether the Democrats would ever go along with it or not, it would be a lot easier, obviously, for the Supreme Court to rule on this and stop this. I heard the other day that there are 660 federal judges in the country. And of those 660, that represents, I believe it's 90 different federal districts. So what they've done is these decisions against Trump, to stop Trump, have come from five of those of those 90 different districts. So they focus on these particular,
activist
areas where
judges.
They can get these judges to side with them, and then they keep issuing these injunctions to stop what Trump's doing.
And they're also going for districts where a lot of their decisions have been overturned in the past.
Well, isn't the question why? Isn't the question why the Supreme Court is not addressing this? Because it affects the entire country.
Well, this is a continuation of the lawfare that has gone on against Trump since he walked down that escalator.
That the Supreme Court was supposed to be conservative leaning now instead of judicial leaning.
Well, I think the Supreme Court needs to uphold the Constitution. And there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the judges this kind of power.
Right. There was yesterday on Facebook, I'm sure people are familiar with the voter ID website that I can't remember the exact name of it, but where you could look up candidates and they rated you based on what your opinion was. But it was a quiz for people about how much do you know about the legislative power of the government. And it had, and I thought I knew pretty much who had authority over what, but it was 20 questions, and I missed 8 of them.
Wow.
And so it was pretty interesting over who had control and authority over what. And it would be interesting. I'll send a link to you, Mary, and you can look at it.
I would like to take a look at that.
It was very interesting.
Because we have thwarted the government that our founding fathers set up. Now, they had 3 distinct branches, and they had 3 distinct jobs. Now, one of the things that is going through Congress that I think is really good is the rules now that they're talking about reining in the regulations set up by the bureaucracy and requiring them to be laws passed by Congress, which is the only way you get accountability, because we don't get to elect these bureaucrats that are passing these regulations. If Congress elects them, we at least have a chance of unelecting a congressman who does things we don't like.
And we don't even get to challenge the regulations.
No.
Right. And somebody being able to be held accountable to those decisions that are made.
And the courts are the same situation. In most cases, we don't get to elect these judges. And the judges are not the commander-in-chief.
But they can be impeached.
Yes.
So who's going to get the kahunas to do that?
That's an interesting question.
They usually just impeach for personal conduct issues, not on the quality of the
rulings. Not overstepping their bounds.
I believe this.
But, I mean, since when did the courts become the head of the executive branch? They have no role there. And, you know, again, we need to get back to the government that our founding fathers founded, because we're not there right now.
I agree.
Seeing that, and the danger, like with this court that recently ruled against Trump even being able to implement tariffs on his own, that takes away one of the tools that Trump has to dealing with our adversaries. You take that away, what do you leave them with? You leave them with a military or a force option, because you've taken away his ability to negotiate. So you've risked the whole country by these particular judges.
One of the biggest differences between the Articles of Confederation and our Constitution was to give a president that ability to react very quickly.
Right.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now we're heading off to China. Which part of the China thing we're going to go? Do we want to go up? What was the thing about the fungus?
That is number 85.
Okay. The Chinese scientist couple has been arrested for agroterrorism, smuggling feared fungus into America. It's a federal case, and it's a fungus apparently that would affect many crops, and we wouldn't have a current deterrent or counter for that.
Well, they had a lot of luck with the COVID virus. I mean, why not?
So this fungus was, I haven't heard a whole lot about it, but I know there's all kinds of different funguses. Is this a fungus that would be to keep plants from growing, or a fungus that we would ingest and make us sick?
I think it's a keep plants
from growing.
I think
it's both. I think it has the potential for infecting people also. I mean, this might have been designed specifically, but it does get to this business about the Wuhan lab and what China's objective is. They're taking these various entities, these germs or fungus or virus or whatever, and making them more lethal.
Gain of function.
And the people who were bringing this in, weren't they employed or students at the University of Wisconsin?
Michigan.
Okay.
And the woman.
University of Michigan.
A teacher.
Yeah, well, so that's my point being is that we have what? I think it's over 400,000 Chinese people at our various universities in various capacities. It's not just the students. And how are you going to police all those people? And this fungus was sent to them, wasn't it? It was brought in by someone coming in on a plane.
They said smuggled in.
Smuggled
so I would assume
in.
That they brought it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, a little bit more of the article that I had originally. It was sort of wrapped in a paper towel and another paper towel, and then a paper towel with a couple of circles that pointed out something on the towel and a couple of vials. So it was
in a plastic bag, is what I understand.
It's just like
I thought it was in a thermos.
You know, but it's like you and I would carry. I'm going to go to Mary. She'd carry hair rollers, so it might be smuggled inside of your hair rollers.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking that there's a whole lot more danger in some of the Chinese. Here again, the agenda. And the number of students that we have here with direct ties to the CCP. Somebody has numbers from Harvard that the number of students at Harvard with direct connection to the CCP, and if their obligation back to them is bioterrorism or stealing our intellectual property or reverse engineering our equipment by the jobs that they get in our technological industries. I mean, there's so much at risk.
And we see their influence even in, I mean, a couple of years ago, one of the basketball owners made a negative comment or made a positive comment about Taiwan, and he was threatened with not letting his team play in China, which is a major source of revenue. One of the Top Gun movies, I think it was the first one, on, what's his name, Tom Cruise's flight jacket, there was a Taiwan patch that they were made to take off because China said no. The other part of this, too, our culture has gone so far downhill that it's amazing they'd want to steal any of it. But our technology has not. And it's also been mentioned that the solar panel business that China has manufactured, a very large percentage of the solar panels sold in America, they have been putting cellular radios inside their solar panels, which can act as silk kill switches.
Well, actually, if you want to remember what Israel did with the pagers.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And what they did was they sent out a signal that activated the pagers. Okay. Who says that China can't send out the same signal that says deactivate the inverter? An inverter takes that DC, the energy, and turns it into AC.
So at that point, it's useless.
It's useless. It's just a
It's a piece of toxic square sitting in the middle of a farmland.
And all this highlights what I was referring to a few minutes ago, when you have to be particularly naive to think that you can negotiate with these evil regimes. They want your destruction. You can never forget that. That's China's objective. And, you know, if you don't face up to it and start acting like it, we're going to continue to make ourselves vulnerable. You mentioned the drones. These Chinese people buying, or government or Chinese individuals buying farmland and land around our military bases. I know we've tried to restrict some of it. It ought to all be stopped. Any Chinese person that's not a citizen of this country who owns that land, that should be terminated.
Another weakness I see that we have with the Chinese is that they manufacture so many of our pharmaceuticals. And if we are thinking that they truly want to destroy the Western culture, they could put anything they want inside of an antibiotic, mm-hmm. or any food source that we would import for them.
How sterile were the COVID masks we got when we had the COVID epidemic? Well, we don't know.
Could have been pre-infected. The COVID masks could have been pre-infected. And then, you know, and the same thing with the pharmaceuticals. You know, you get COVID and then you take an antibiotic that was made in China. How do you know that it wasn't
tampered with in some way?
Well, a stimulator, you know, because something makes something else grow. A catalyst is the word I'm looking for. You know, a chemical reaction between things that would happen. You know, this on its own is not dangerous, but this and this together is.
Let's roll the calendar back only 3 years, 4 years, whatever. What happened to the auto industry? The auto industry couldn't produce cars because they couldn't get chips from China.
Right.
So all of a sudden, we were at the mercy of getting the chips. I mean, we're maybe changing to make some more chips here, but look at the I'm going to say the industrial complex that's producing weapons in China versus our complex. What was the last time Boeing did something good?
And we can't build battleships right now. We can't build aircraft carriers. We don't have the infrastructure.
Here again, the bottom line with all that is the money. This country is going to have some kind of reawakening with the value of the workforce. And if we want those things to be manufactured here, we're going to at some point say to these big businesses, you know, this is going to affect your bottom line, but we're going to have to get this industry back here. Your stock might go down short term. It's going to be painful short term. However, we'll get the gains back through volume of sales and through jobs and taxes, whatever. But until our manufacturing comes back to this country, we will not get better and we will not be at less risk.
One of the things that will help with that is the Trump policy of drill, baby, drill. Because if you can get the cost of energy down low enough, that will counter some of the bottom line. And again, we need to take a look at how our companies are structured.
I agree with you, Mary, but I have been doing some reading on other energy sources, including different propulsion devices. And there is a lot of stuff that's been in the pipeline for a very long time that has been kept out of the market, off the market, because it would affect oil. And oil is the economic engine of the world.
Yes.
So there are powers that be that do not want us to be more efficient or whatever, because they need oil to be the economic engine.
Yes.
So some of the technology stuff that would really help will not be allowed to help.
No, but the lower price of oil.
We can be
help.
Thankful for one good thing, is that Trump is addressing every issue we just mentioned. He's addressing the issue about energy. He's addressing the issue about drugs being made overseas. He's addressing the issue about fentanyl coming from China. I mean, China has killed, through their production of fentanyl, more Americans that we lost at every war that we fought combined. And we still do business with them, and we still, up until Trump now, I think Trump's trying to rein them in as much as he can without destroying our economy at the same time. I mean, what did he start with, 125% tariff on Chinese things? And now the Chinese people, China is saying they're going to have to absorb those tariffs. It's not going to all going to wind up with American people paying for it. They're going to have less profit. And their economy is already in shambles, by the way. They have overproduced. And they can't sell that. They're laying people off. So China's economy is already on the rocks in a lot of ways. And, you know, we need to keep the pressure on them. The danger, of course, is that if we're dealing with irrational people again, okay? If you go back to World War II, what started Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor? It's when we restricted their access to materials from Southeast Asia, like rubber and things that they needed for their military. That's when they attacked Pearl Harbor. So this thing that we could just keep, you know, restricting them, there is a risk involved with that. But, you know, sometimes you got to take the risk.
I want to go back to what you said about fentanyl. There are a lot of aspects of our problem with fentanyl coming across the border. But one of the aspects that nobody wants to talk about is the fact that there's a market for it in this country. And at some point, we have to figure out what to do to end that market, to help the people that have gotten hooked on drugs and to find a way. I mean, you can't cure a drug addict unless the drug addict wants to be cured. And that's part of the problem. But we need to change our culture. So drug use is just totally frowned upon, and smoking pot is not cute, and it's not legal, because some of our pot is laced with fentanyl.
And we've been trying to do that for, what, 60 years,
yeah,
70
well, we
years?
To, remember we need to do it better.
Remember when Reagan was in office and his wife had that
just say no program,
and they went to the school and so on and so forth. And the reality of it is, you know, I hate to use China as an example. But what did China do to stop their addiction to opium? They instituted the death penalty for anybody that was selling drugs. They got serious, and they stopped it.
And now,
but the thing is, that's not the kind of thing that our country, I could imagine our country doing.
However, we wouldn't accept.
Getting that serious with the punishment, making the punishment fit the crime.
However, in Craven County, if you sell drugs to someone who overdoses, you will be charged with murder.
Well, I agree with that. That's good news. I hope it helps.
Folks, again, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thanks for listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening. By the way, we have a premier guest that's joined us. Please speak.
Introduce yourself.
Introduce. Hi, this is Pat Park. I was sleeping.
Thank you, Pat, for being here.
I want to mention we've talked a lot about threats to America's security. Ted Cruz is pushing to have the Muslim Brotherhood designated as a terrorist organization. Now, for those of you who may remember the Holy Land Foundation trial, one of the exhibits, the government exhibits, is the Muslim Brotherhood plan to institute Sharia law in America and essentially take over the country through lawfare. And it's about an 18-page document, half of it's in Arabic and half of it's in the government translation.
Now, can I ask you a question? That document, can you put a year on that document?
Probably about 2004, 2005.
Okay. A number of the people in this audience weren't even born then, so I just want to make sure that we...
Well, and in the interesting part of that document is that at the end are a whole bunch of unindicted co-conspirators that include such people as CAIR, the Islamic...
C-A-I-R.
Yeah, the Islamic Association of North America, a bunch of collegiate Islamic organizations, many of whom have been involved in the anti-Israel protests.
And are still functioning, yes.
Yes, and they're still functioning. And they, because Obama and Bush blocked any further prosecution of the unindicted co-conspirators, they've never been even brought to trial, even though they should have been. So I just want to mention that there is a movement to declare them as a terrorist organization. They should be declared as a terrorist organization.
Alan, you wanted to bring up...
Yeah, and that is a good follow-up to what Mary was just talking about, because what we have are these terrorists, Islamic terrorist organizations, and they are sponsoring, encouraging these attacks that we see, like the one that happened over the weekend in Boulder, Colorado, where you had this extremist Palestinian supporter going around spraying, spilling gasoline on people and lighting people on fire. And these things are going to become more common. And it, because we have so many of these people that were let in by the Biden administration, and we don't know which of these people. are the ones that we need to be afraid of. We ought to be vetting all of them, sending all of them back that have any association with these organizations or here illegally. And we just need to get serious about it. And the other thing I heard was that the family of this person was just arrested.
They're going to be
deported.
Because
they were suspect that they knew about this. He'd been plotting for this for over a year.
Now, I have a question with the gentleman that did it. My understanding is he's from Egypt, right?
Yes.
So will he be put for trial and put in prison here, or will they deport him and expect Egypt to take care of him?
No. He would be prosecuted here for the Boulder, Colorado crime.
That's what I am hoping for. So he'd be doubly punished because then his family will be gone and he'll be in prison.
And the thing that struck me, and I don't know whether you saw the video snippet they had of this guy walking around. He had his shirt off. He's walking around. They didn't record what he was saying necessarily, or at least I couldn't make it out. But he's walking around. So this went on for some period of time. Okay, Boulder, Colorado. I would like to see how many people in Boulder, Colorado are carrying a weapon. That would have been a perfect circumstance for someone who is carrying conceal to take that guy out. And it's these, where do they target? They target these places where they can get away with this stuff, where they don't have to fear retribution or being stopped. And that was a perfect example because it wasn't just one incident. He was walking around. I don't know how long it took, but it looked like it was 5-10 minutes, whatever it was, that he was going around assaulting, lighting people on fire, and nobody stopped him.
Alan, the other aspect of that I think is amazing, he tried to buy a gun. He wanted to do this with a gun, but he couldn't get a gun. So to me, that says if someone wants to do evil and they can't get a gun, they're going to find another way to do it. The problem is not the gun. The problem is the intent of what they were trying to do.
But it does reflect also, Mary, that the gun law restriction did work. Now, obviously, we don't have restrictions on gasoline, all these other possibilities. And it could have been worse. He could have made a bomb and blown up a whole bunch of people. Not to getting lit on fire is any fun. But still, at least in his case, he was not able to get a gun, which kind of surprises me because I thought on the black market anybody could get a gun.
Well, he may not have known that.
But again, if you did have a gun, looking at some of the prosecutors around the country, you're not allowed to fire the gun until you believe that your life is threatened.
You still have a legal duty to come to the aid of others.
Come to the aid of others would be the thing. But and of course, it's way out of sync with him using gasoline and versus a gun. I mean, you'd hear all of these wonderful leftist lawyers trying.
Well, Jamie Raskin went off on gun control, even though the guy didn't have a gun. Did you see Jamie Raskin?
I did not see that.
No. He was talking about gun control.
And it had nothing to do
with no gun.
Well, I do know with what you said, Pat, about them trying to defend somebody else, that guy on the subway that was protecting
Penny.
Daniel Penny.
Right, they sure took him to school.
Right.
For trying to do the right thing.
Right. Yeah, if you're in a blue state or blue jurisdiction, now in some of them, I think in California, they've done away with self-defense.
You're supposed to let somebody kill you.
And of course, when we were in Massachusetts and Michael Dukakis became governor, you had no right to stay in your household. If you felt threatened in your household, you needed to escape.
Huh. Yeah, you couldn't defend it. Can we go on? I want to hear, Pat, I'm going to pick on you. I want to hear your comments, if you have any, on the auto pen and the pardons.
The auto pen. The article I read about the auto pen made the point that in the Constitution it says Congress will pass a law, and if the president approves it, he shall sign it. if he approves it. So there's an intent. He has to review it. He has to approve it. He has to sign it. In my view, there should be no auto pen at all.
Do you think that they will be able to make a case that some of the pardons are not legitimate because they were signed with an auto pen?
I don't think they're going to be able to do that unless they get a whistleblower.
Well, there was something on the news that I heard today that there were pardons that were signed within 20 minutes of the Trump inauguration, which would have meant Biden would not have been
president.
He wouldn't
have
be
been
there.
Present.
Present. Yeah.
Present.
Oh.
Well, my understanding is that the Department of Justice is pursuing this issue, as well as the House Judiciary Committee. So they're both looking at it, and they do intend to, as you implied, Pat, to bring people in, put them under oath, and there may be someone who tells the truth. Because that's what it boils down to. There could be a whistleblower. It just could be somebody that comes out and tells the truth because they don't want to be convicted of lying under oath.
Congress, yeah.
So let's hope that that happens.
There's been a certain number of staffers called in, as well as one of Biden's doctors. And part of what they are going to talk about is the auto pen, and part of it was if they were aware of the cognitive decline. And in the same conversation, they were discussing the use of the auto pen and what gave them permission to do it. And it was supposed to be a directive by the president. For instance, there were like 9,000 pardons given, and they said it would be physically impossible for him to have physically signed 9,000 documents in that length of time. So what they were looking at was at each of the individual documents that are being questioned, and they can tell whether it was an auto pen or I think they call it a wet signature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were questioning some of that because they had the example of there being a specific executive order that had been signed that this reporter was talking to President Biden about, and he said, what? I don't know about that. I didn't.
That was Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson. Yep.
Okay, so that
Mike
was
Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
That
right.
was about the LNG restriction
right.
when he had a meeting with Biden, and Mike Johnson is from Louisiana, yeah. which yeah. exports LNG to Europe, and he said to Biden, "Why did you stop the exports?" And Biden said, "I didn't do that." He said, yes, you did. You said, oh, no, I just signed a study. So at least in that one instance, he had no idea what he was signing.
We only have a couple of minutes to go, but I want to throw a time bomb on the table, something called prohibited access.
Yes.
Dan Bongino has discovered a series of items within the FBI, I believe, that are classified as prohibited access.
Prohibited access.
They're dealing
anybody
with,
other than the deep state.
They're dealing with the bag of cocaine. They're dealing with the J6 pipe bomb. They're dealing with a couple of other things that these were not fully investigated, and any investigation has now gone into this prohibited access, which means it never existed.
They're also dealing with a Supreme Court leak.
Who is they? Is that the FBI?
The FBI.
Yeah.
They've reopened those three investigations.
But the prohibited access, was that done during the Biden administration, or are you talking about it done recently?
No, during the Biden administration.
Okay.
During
that makes sense. So,
even before Biden, because it contains a lot of Russiagate documents.
Yeah. So what is the current administration planning to do about that prohibited access?
Well, apparently this was just discovered very, very recently.
And so they're going to make open it
and make it public. Let's have some transparency.
Well, let's hope they do better than the Epstein files. We're still waiting for that to be released, aren't we?
I don't think they have any. I think they've all been destroyed.
That's right.
Could be.
They're not even secreted away. They're gone. Yes.
I want to know who was in charge of saying what's prohibited access. And that person needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Yes, I totally agree.
Because it could have been somebody like James Comey, which here again, I think he belongs in jail.
For threatening the president, if nothing
so
else.
So somebody had to have said that's prohibited access. Somebody.
Somebody had to hire a computer programmer to create it.
To create that hidden.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that it exists, but it's hidden. so that it.
So if you run a Brady search, Brady is the responsibility of the government to give exculpatory information to a defendant. If you run a search in their data file, it comes up with nothing if it's in prohibited access. So they can, in good conscience, say, we don't have any documents.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that was used in many cases against the January 6 people.
It's called cover your butt, right?
Yep. Folks, we've run out of time for this show. We appreciate your listening. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.